Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
It is time for The Bigger Picture, and it is the third day that Wall Street markets are down.
Not just technology stocks making the headlines as well. This time it's financial stocks that are under pressure.
Yeah, and we've seen some of the biggest names, right, Ryan, that are being impacted by these reports that have come out over the weekend.
Yeah, in the headlines we've got names like DBS, HSBC, Standard Chartered, Deutsche Bank. So all that under pressure. And to get a bigger picture, we've got Stephen Innes. He is the Chief Global Market Strategist at AXI. Morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Hi, Ryan. Nice to hear you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Glad to have you back. And Stephen, let's kick things off with how September is looking. Not good at all. In recent days, we've seen technology names selling off. Now it's financials. Stephen, is this a sign of worse to come?
It's a horrible month for stock markets in general. And, you know, we thought we were going to be entering 5 days of pain this week, compounded by election risks, compounded by stock market concentrations. We haven't really seen the tech sector rebound to any significant fact after the September 2 sell-off. So these problems are continuing to weigh on market sentiment. Of course, there's other things that are getting drawn into the equation right now. There's no real one single fact that we can draw any definitive conclusion. Of course, we had the COVID beatdown. That's always the case. Everybody's always looking over their shoulder for when that's going to happen. And obviously, the realization that when, you know, winter happens, things are going to get a lot more difficult on the COVID front because social activity moves indoors. We all knew that, but it seemed to come to loggerheads yesterday. And then finally, we had all the issues about the bank stocks, and that was just probably rubbing salt in the wound, and that was just an early impact that we saw,
Stephen,
overnight.
You've actually looked at the data, and we are now in the middle of what's called a bearish window. How does this work?
Well, you know, but basically, a lot of traders are creatures of habits, right? So what we tend to do is we look at what happened previous buildups, not only to U.S. elections, but to other elections, like sort of the Scottish referendum. We look at stuff, buildups to Brexit votes, anything that deals with votes. So we sort of try to summarize that in the context of a gnarly September read. So everything seemed to come to loggerheads this week, and the data really pointed to a real downswing this week. I mean, it was pretty clear and obvious. We were making on the technical picture here, we're making a lower flag on the NDX because the market was continuing to sell tech stocks, and then it looked like it was just going to drop, and it did. I mean, there's all these factors that you have to anticipate, but it's very difficult for traders and investors that are used to buying the dip to get away from that narrative, and that's the problem. I think we're just seeing that sort of realization coming back into the market, but it's not always easy to buy the dip.
So it looks like traders are selling their stock on the first sign of weakness and profit-taking at anything spooking them right now. And Stephen, you mentioned this just now, banks under pressure, and we've got the news reports linking banks to suspicious activities. But Stephen, is this overblown, considering that there's no proven wrongdoing yet? These are somewhat routine compliance reports. Is this a chance to buy on the dips?
Well, you know, that's the interesting part here. It's the fear of the unknown that triggers the stock market sell-offs, not the fear of the known. We don't know what's going on, so that's just why people are cutting and running. But pretty gnarly look on HSBC stock to start off with. I mean, we've seen 2.5 decades of gains basically being paired in the last, the last few years. So it's pretty grim outlook there. But if we're looking at industry-wide, we use a very simple multiple. It's just like 8x price earnings, and banks are under there right now. And that's usually, a good trigger for value investing. So I think that's why we saw some buying last night, where investors were trying to paint the tape green with not only at-home stocks, but also some financials and industrials, because these are value stocks that we think are going to remain endearing going forward, outside of the tech sector. For me, this is positive, not negative. Although the market sold off, there are positive undercurrents in the markets right now that are showing significant signs of support. And I think this is why we're seeing a little bit of a rebound in risk sentiment as we move into Asia this morning.
You're chairing Stephen Innes. He's the Chief Global Market Strategist at AXI. Now, Stephen, looking at oil prices, there seems to be a bit of change of fortunes. Last week, we got a bit of a good week for oil after that scolding by Saudi Arabia, telling OPEC members to stop cheating on quotas. They also warned shareholders not to challenge or the short sellers, not to challenge the cartel's commitment. So there was a 10% rise last week. And this week, we are starting off on a lower footing. Where are oil prices heading from here, Stephen?
Yeah, I think it's good that OPEC stood in front of the slide last week. This is really providing a very significant price blank. I guess, you know, the objective here is trying to figure out where we trade it. Do we trade it higher? Do we trade it lower? This is the problem. I think the OPEC commitment to price recovery is sufficient enough that it's going to protect the downside. Just even the threat of them pulling more barrels off the market, I think the commitment to compliance and the commitment to compensation, I think, is very resounding, where they're going to have laggards compensate for past indiscretions. This will offset the Libyan supply coming back to market. This is anticipated to be anywhere between 200,000 or 400,000 barrels leading into the end of the year. So I think that's sort of a sell-off, and it really comes down to the equation, where's demand going to get driven from? I think we defer to the macro situation here, where I think the street universally expects the pace of the economic recovery to slow over the next several quarters, if not in all economies. I think the virus is expected to spread a little bit faster as the colder weather seasons at the northern hemisphere. We've got to factor this in. It's going to weigh on demand. Not only that, we're also pretty much seeing people working from home. People are going to continue to work from home, and that's going to lessen their impulse to drive. And I think this probably means that topside for oil is going to be quite limited. You know, I'm not going to suggest we've seen the tops already, but I don't think we're going to make much headroom above $45 to $50 per barrel into the first Q of 2021.
Yeah, Stephen, the structural changes in how people work and play likely to affect demand. And if you look at currencies, you've got a lot of headlines as well. What is the most compelling trade for you right now? You've got the dollar now pushing 6-week highs on the back of safe haven buying. You've got the Australian dollar now pushing near 7-week lows. And of course, the British pound under the spotlight with what's going on with not just COVID-19, the spike in cases, but also the Brexit saga hanging in the air. So what is the most likely trade for you to look at for currencies?
All those European currencies are too noisy. Dollar trade is too noisy also. I'm just not sure where it's going to go. I don't have a very salient view. I think it's really going to trade on how risk sentiment's going to trade. And if I knew how risk sentiment's going to trade tomorrow, I'd honestly buy and sell currencies with a stronger conviction. I think we have to look at what I consider the path of least resistance. And this has been the dollar CNH trade that we've been advocating for the last 3 or 4 months. I think this is the clearest path lower. I think there's two real factors here that are drawing attention to the yuan. I think obviously the economic rebound is the first thing, but I think the inclusion of Chinese bond markets getting included in the FTSE Russell is just a big sentiment. That opens up a broader network to investors. This is really keen, but I think enveloping this entire thread, so to speak, is the fact that mainland regulators want to internationalize the yuan. They want to make it free floating at some point, and this is going to encourage more entry into the financial markets. I think that's their objective here. I think they want to move away from the brick and mortars. They continue to want to move away, and they want to stoke the internal consumption engines. What better way to stoke your internal consumption engines by having a strong currency? I think that's what they're aiming for, and I truly believe we're going to see a stronger yuan envelope markets as we move forward in 2021. For me, that's the path of least resistance, and I think the stronger yuan will probably lead to a broader U.S. dollar weakness globally, not the other way around where the euro tends to lead the ship. I think the yuan is going to lead the ship this time around.
Yeah, Stephen, good point on the Chinese economic rebound helping to support the currency. And just to wrap things up, Stephen, are you an Xbox fan or a gamer? What do you make of Microsoft's latest purchase for a game publisher, Bethesda? This really helps with the Xbox division, and they just missed out on TikTok. Is this a good consolation prize?
Ryan, you know how old I am, and I can barely use a computer, let alone game box and fan boxes. But listen, I think any time you see Microsoft making an acquisition, it's usually a smart move. And I think they're very, very crafty people that run that organization. So I think this is going to be a pretty positive acquisition over the long run.
Okay, maybe something for Christmas, Stephen. I've been chatting with Stephen Innes, Chief Global Market Strategist at Axie. Thank you so much for your time, Stephen.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me on.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.